This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
In the fall of the year, I get to, as Dean of Women, I get to join the group of students and volunteers and canoe down the Allegheny River. We do it overnight. But we rent the canoes from an outfitter, and so we need to sit through these safety speeches to start with. And the section of the river we travel is pretty calm, but yet there are potential areas where danger could happen. But if you follow a few basic principles, it's not dangerous. But two of the biggest dangers that they talk about when they go through the safety speech are the strainers and the sieves. Now, I didn't know what these things were until I actually listened to them give these talks. But a strainer is a downed tree or other areas that collect branches and trash. And the danger is what's hidden under the water that can catch you and pull you under or pin you against the downed tree. We are cautioned to watch out and steer away from them. Your sieves are created by rocks that actually act like a toilet bowl and bring a lot of pressure in. So the current is very strong and it will pull you up against whatever's there. And if they're severe enough, you can't get out without help to just pull away from the pressure. So thankfully, those are not a real danger on what we canoe, but we are still told about it. And in addition, there are a few little rapids that are quite harmless, as long as you're watching. And really all they do is just create some excitement and just some diversion as you canoe along. And on a warm, sunny day, which we do this in October, so those are rare, but on a warm, sunny day, the river is just a great place to relax and enjoy. And then the current is our means of transportation, so we really hardly even need to work. Today, I want to suggest that the ministries we work with and our places in the office should be like the river on a warm fall day. Our office should provide a place of refreshment and enjoyment for those that we serve. Now, that before I go further here, I'd like to get just a little bit of a feel for who you are. How many of you work in an office of some sort? Okay, so the majority of you do. How many work for a nonprofit? Okay. And I have basically, I've geared this toward nonprofits, but where I say ministry, you can also put business in the place. And I don't really think you have to be in an office. I was listening to some of the other talks this morning, and they kind of say some of the same things, but I think it's a little bit about what does it mean to serve. So as office staff, we play a major role on how people we serve experience our ministries. Our river. And so the question is, do we create strainers and sieves, or do we offer joy and refreshment? I enjoy office work and have been involved in various capacities for about 22 years now. But while I really enjoy what I do, I have struggled a lot with feeling like I'm less than the rest of the staff. You know, feeling like what I do is important, but am I important? I've struggled with creating strainers and sieves, and I strain at the rocks that create the music of the ministry. And I found that I do these things by looking around and seeing others as the more important one, the more noticed one, or the more significant one. And for a long time, I blamed this on the people I worked with. Yeah, they would just have been more appreciative. They just weren't as appreciative as they should have been. They're just so caught up in their own work that they don't even notice what I'm doing, unless something's not ready on time or something could be changed. I don't think I'm alone. But then I switched offices, and the same thing happened. And so then I began to say, wait a minute here. Not everybody is ungrateful in this world. And I began to realize that the problem was me. It wasn't just the people I was working with. I was fighting with being a cog in the wheel and was striving for a position of prominence. I wasn't satisfied with where God had placed me. And no amount of affirmation was enough because I was fighting God. In the past few years, God has given me a lot of opportunity to learn more what it means to serve with joy. Because if I thought my position was hidden then, it's much more hidden now than what it was then. Because at that point, I would have been secretary for grade school. And I'll refer to it as FBCS, Faith Builders Christian School. But these past years, God has given me more opportunities to learn what it means to serve with joy in the unnoticed corners. But I have not attained. And these past 6 months, as I thought about this workshop, I saw more and more areas where I have not attained and have a lot of growth to do in learning what it means to live in joy when I'm in the background. And one of these times was during our annual Teachers Week. And it's not as big as Reach, but it is our largest on-campus event that we do. We have 300 to 400 people that come in. And for about 5 years, I was very heavily involved with the registration process. I was important to the event. I needed to be there. Well, in the past year, because of a bunch of changes in my position, I was no longer needed. The event could go on without me. And I want to stand here and tell you that I just did so well with it. You know, everything was just nice. But for the 2 weeks before that event, I asked questions. I made suggestions. I did everything I could think of to find a position that I could fill during Teachers Week. I shed tears. I had pity me parties. But God shut every door. Every time I tried, someone else was chosen to fill the position. In the end, I collected money for a few hours, and I served lots of water. And I think this event made me realize just how much I want to serve, but how much I cringe at unnoticed service. I want to do something that's seen. And office work, though often hidden, it's a major part of what keeps our ministries running smoothly. We communicate a lot to the people we serve. We interact with the public in some of the ways our administrators do not interact. You know, who in your ministry or your business answers the phone? Who takes the packages from the delivery man? Who goes to the post office? Who neatly folds the letters and mails the packages? Who keeps the detailed records for the newsletter that needs to go out or whatever it is? Who keeps the database up to date? You know, these jobs can feel really hidden and unnoticed. But without faithful office staff, our ministries would suffer. You know, we are not the river. And I don't want to communicate that today, that somehow we are the flow. But we can be instruments of rest and refreshment as people enter our offices, either regularly or for one moment. So the question I ask is, as office personnel, do I contribute to joy and refreshment, or do I create strainers and sieves along the river? And so I want to suggest three me's that contribute to the dangers and hindrances that we can give to our ministries and keep our ministries from being sources of joy and refreshment. So the first strainer I want to look at is me first, which we could also call jealousy. And this is a deadly trap. And it can rob us of our joy and just create a dangerous river for those around us. You know, recently I spent a morning working in our music department organizing music. And this is in a closet. Yeah, so you are away. And it's a very hidden job, but I've always enjoyed it because I know it was needed. The room was a mess if I didn't take care of it. And I love organizing. But this day was different. I felt so used and so unwanted as I was putting that music away because another staff member had started helping out in secretarial work in the music department. And she was the one frontlining the main things. I was the one putting the music away. And I just knew that if given a choice, people would much rather have her put the music away than have me put it away. And I just felt like I was a necessary evil stuck in the way, that here I'm the one doing this. And the day was difficult. And the worst part of it was that I found myself almost happy to point out errors that the other lady had made, even if they were just tiny and insignificant. Yet I can't do everything, and yet I want to. And I become jealous when others do jobs I would love to do. And I ask, why wasn't I asked first? Yeah, I used to say it was because, well, I just love doing too many things. And that's part of it. But I think the bigger thing for me was the me first attitude. I wanted to be the one that was noticed. It's so easy to think others have the more noticed and the better jobs. But is that really true? And do I want the responsibility that goes with their job? And is the work such that would really bring me fulfillment? Or is it just that level of position that I'm wanting? And recently I was talking with my supervisor, and he made the comment that sometimes he can get jealous of those of us in the trenches because we're actually closer to the people we're serving than what he is. You know, things are not always the way they appear. Looking over the fence at others, at what others are doing and how they are treated, robs me of joy and causes me to create dangerous strainers for those I serve and for my fellow staff members. It works against a flowing atmosphere of joy and refreshment. And very similar to me first is me focused. Caring more about my needs, desires, giftings, than about my coworkers and what they may be feeling and experiencing. Is my focus on serving those out there, or is it also focused on my coworkers right beside me? Being me focused not only affects those we serve, but it really affects the ones I work right beside. So I go back to the music department. The next day, I went to my coworker's desk, and I knew I needed to confess my attitude from the day before, because I knew there was tension there. It wasn't just a hidden thing. But what I thought was going to be a short confession ended up being an hour discussion. And just realizing that she was intimidated of me. She was the new one on staff. And while I was jealous, she was intimidated. And the reality is we were both believing the very same lie, that I'm inferior and the least wanted. You know, these subjects are difficult to talk about, but taking time to hear our coworkers out and what they're feeling is just a huge step in removing the strainers from our mission and cultivating joy in the office. The more we know each other, the more we can pull together as a team, and the less me-focused I will be. But this hits in other areas as well. You know, when I'm working on a project, I can become very me-focused. I claim excessive and exclusive rights to my project. And it becomes very personal. So then what happens when someone makes a suggestion? It's a very personal affront. Instead of saying, how can this benefit our ministry? How can this make what we're doing better? Another area where I become very me-focused is when my response, when others are chosen for things that I have long dreamed of doing and never even sure it was an option. You know, it's so easy to care about me and my roles and to let this get in the way of caring about the ministry and what is best for everyone. And recently, like as in last week, and I was working on this, I was pushed really hard in this area. And in the moment, God gave me the grace to say yes. But it's not over. And the question is, can I turn over, and not just turn over, but train someone to do what I have prepared to do? But never, okay, let me start over there. Can I turn over and not just turn over, but train someone to do what I have prepared to do, but have never been asked to complete? Yet those I'm working with, the ones that asked me to do this, have no idea that this has been very close to my heart and something I have been dreaming of doing for years. And the person they're asking to do it will do a lovely job. There's nothing wrong with the way it will be done. But the question is, will I bless her? Will I train her well to do what I was never allowed to do or never given the chance to do? And I pray God will give me that grace to train and train well. When we are me-focused, all we see is a strainer we are building, except we think it's a strainer that others are creating. And we are the unlucky recipients who have to cope with the results and the dangers that come out of it. And not only do we create strainers by being me-focused and me-first, we also can create strainers with me-rights. Or better grammar is my rights. As humans, we don't want to give up our rights. We want to hold people to my rights. And we get upset when my rights are not respected. But Jesus calls us to death. Death to ourselves and to my rights. Jesus says, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And so the question I ask is, do I struggle with a lack of joy, with feeling alone, because I'm not willing to fall into the ground and die, because I fight for my rights? Luke 9:23 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Joy comes in following Jesus and in dying to my agenda and my rights. That's where we find joy in service. One of the ways my right attitude is seen is in looking to those around us for our value. Excuse me, my voice is getting dry. Yeah, as office personnel, our job is to please. But it is dangerous when we try to find our value in how well we please and to see affirmation as my right. And that's what I was doing for a long time. It was my right to be affirmed. Too often we look to our supervisors, the people we work with, the people we reach out to for our value. When we look to the people around us for our value, we will struggle with feelings of rejection. My right to be appreciated will not be met. God is the only one capable of holding my value. People, even the best people, will fail us. And we need to understand in deep ways that God has created us for a special purpose. And that purpose is even in a hidden office. And that He loves us. And He never has a bad day. And He loves to communicate our value to us. But as office staff, we do not need to be me people and create strainers and sieves and other dangers along the ways. We really have a unique position to be avenues of joy and refreshment and to clear the way for others to travel with confidence along the river. And that's really the focus I want to have today. You know, we're not the hub. We're not the ones that are the first person's name that gets associated when a ministry or a business is set. It's usually not our name that goes with that. But we do play a significant part in the atmosphere of the ministry. minister, be ministers of joy and refreshment as we learn to be both other-centered and God-centered instead of me-centered. We are called to serve, to be other-centered. James Hunter, in his book, The Servant, says, and I quote, "Serving others breaks you free from the shackles of self and self-absorption that choke out the joy of living. When we deny our own needs and wants and extend ourselves for others, we grow. Joy is the byproduct of this extension." That's the end of the quote. Joy comes as I look for ways to serve those I interact with. I look out for their good, putting them ahead of myself. Looking for the good of the ministry instead of what I want. But serving is not being all things for all people. God did not call us to wear ourselves out trying to make sure no one else suffers. But God does call us to die to ourselves and live for Him. And not only is being other-centered service, being other-centered also means I will love. Love the people I'm ministering to, love the people I work with, and love those responsible to give oversight. This love is not a warm, fuzzy feeling, but an active, choosing love that says, I choose to want the best for you, whether or not I feel like it. And commenting on 1 Corinthians 13, Hunter says, and I quote, "When we choose to love, to extend ourselves for others, we will be required to be patient, kind, humble, respectful, selfless, forgiving, honest, and committed. These behaviors will require us to serve and sacrifice for others. We will have to sacrifice by loving and extending ourselves for people we may not even like." That's a mouthful. Part of loving, of being other-centered, is sacrificing for others. Who are the people in your office you are called to sacrifice for? It may be your supervisor, your coworkers, but maybe those outside of the office. Maybe it's the people your ministry is trying to serve. Maybe it's those people who are not even lovable, who don't care about office hours. Am I willing to go the second mile and to love enough to sacrifice my plans and my wants, my time? But if we're going to maintain an attitude of sacrifice, being other-centered is not enough. We've got to be God-centered. We must spend time with God, learning His heart, if we want our offices to be places of joy and refreshment. Joy is cultivated as I spend time in prayer about our work. When I pray for those I work for and with. And when I ask God's perspective on my work, instead of just telling Him my perspective. Joy in serving is not natural. It's not really what we just do automatically. And we need God's presence in our lives to enable us to live for others and to put others first. Joy is not found in pursuing my wants, but in following God's direction. Sacrifice is about being God-centered, not about being office staff. You know, we really are not the only ones that are sacrificing. So we've looked at the strainers, the sieves, the me's that create dangers. We've looked at how being other and God-centered can bring joy and refreshment. And now I want to look at just some really practical ways where we can find joy in what we do. And we find joy in just doing a job well, in interacting with people, and in keeping vision alive. And this joy will not only affect our attitude toward our work, but it will also help to create help our ministries to be rivers of refreshment. And so the first one is just joy is found in a job well done. Do you find joy in neatly folded letters, in organized shelves, in timely responses, in quick recovery of information, in working with accuracy, in keeping the copier paper tray full, in bringing a smile to the person who stops by, in extending love and care to the person on the phone, and even in treating the salesperson with respect? Yeah, I'm reminded of my first year as secretary at FBCS. All was new, and for a variety of reasons, I had created a mess out of the small and what I thought was a messy filing system. I only made it worse trying to fix it. And that year, I had a hard time finding joy. When someone would come to me and ask me for something, and my response was, "I'll get back with you on that." Because there was no way I could go to that drawer and find anything in there. But that summer then, with help, we got everything organized. And that next year, there was just no greater satisfaction than someone asking for something and being able to go to that drawer and just pull it out immediately. The principals actually changed between those 2 years. And the principal from the first year would come in and just pull open the drawer and just stand there and look at it for a while and then shut it again and leave. You know, joy is found in our work, but also when we do it with our hearts. When we cultivate traits that bless those around us. We cultivate timeliness. You know, this is one of my greatest joys. I just find a lot of delight in having things organized and ready on time, or before time. Your confidentiality, that's a very hidden trait, but it's really one that brings a lot of joy and just refreshment to our offices. Flexibility, that's a big joy stealer for me. Yeah, I have a plan, and part of that plan does not include what just happened. As in when I walked out the door, well, my last project before coming here, discovered that my computer program is messed up. And so on Monday, well, actually on Friday, or what day am I here? This last Tuesday, I was going to whip through a whole bunch of work. Well, no, I get to go back on Monday and fix the program. But I can let that be a joy stealer, or I can embrace it and have fun and say, you know what, this is just what it is. Nobody is going to get mad at me if they get their stuff a day later because it took me a day to fix the problem. You're going the second mile, thinking ahead. As I was FBCS secretary, I loved having things ready the moment the principal needed it. And I worked with the same principal for 6 years. And by the end, I had learned to anticipate what he wanted and to be able to have it out and handing it to him before he really even asked for it. It was just a lot of fun. And I think another trait is creativity. You know, and our creativity, you know, we think about that in decorations, but it's a lot more than that. Creativity is just bringing myself to my work, bringing my ideas. You know, joy in doing a job well is also found in understanding those I work with. You know, love to ask you this question, but I won't. You know, how many of us have procrastinators in our offices someplace along the line? Or we have jobs that require last minute details that have to be done just right at the end. You know, can we make sure that we're ready for those things? You know, plan ahead. So when those last minute things come, that procrastinator comes in, that our own procrastination isn't actually the thing that creates a strainer when we think it's the other person coming in and asking for something. Your joy is also found in knowing what matters most to those you serve, to your organization, to your business, and make those things matter to you. put priority in those small things. Joy is found in a job well done, just in the job itself, even if no one even notices it. The internal satisfaction, knowing we have done our best, should bring us joy. A quote from Rose Lathrop in Great Women in Christian History sums this up. Acts are no better than the spirit in which we do them. And while a job well done brings joy, our joy is increased as we interact with and bless the people around us. You know, sometimes it's hard to keep in mind that I'm really blessing people when all it feels like I do is sit in front of this computer screen all day long. Because for me, I find the most joy in my work when I see a connection between what I'm doing and the people I'm blessing. And one of my jobs earlier was entering information into a database. And when you just have a Mennonite directory and you're entering that information into a database, it's rather boring. But with time, I was able to see how entering that information in there and doing it right was helping some of the men be a lot more efficient and to get their job done more quickly. And I was able to find joy in doing that as I was able to see the big picture and to see, you know, this is not just about a computer screen. This is really about the face of faith builders out there. And it's kind of hard to keep that vision in mind when you're sitting in there just typing away day after day. You know, currently, my interaction with people is mostly on the phone or by email. As Deborah said, I have a little hole of an office. And I probably see more people that come into the office than what they see me because of where I'm located there. But I have found that I don't actually need to see someone's face to know that I'm making a difference. You know, those emails that come in also say something. And my accuracy and faithfulness in those mundane tasks really is making a difference. And it's blessing a lot of people. So at times it's just easy to get caught up in our work and forget that I am not just a data entering machine. I am actually serving people. That this is about people. This is about blessing people. You know, in varying degrees, we serve our supervisors. We serve our constituencies. You know, maybe it's the people on the field that you're serving, our coworkers, and our coworkers' wives. I think that's one we need to be careful that we don't forget. That it's actually the men we work with, we're also serving their wives. But we are also serving the postman, the delivery man, the salesperson. I just think we need to keep our eyes open for the people God sends our way. I think it's easy to see these people as interruptions instead of seeing them as avenues of service. This is someone I can just serve with joy. And maybe it's just a short interaction. Recently, I was at the bank in just a drive-through window. I wasn't thinking much about it. And the lady inside goes, "I just love when you come because you always have a smile on your face." And it just really made me stop and think. It's like, so I'm actually serving her. When I come up to her window and ask her to do something for me, but with a smile. And so I think those people are just very important for us to keep our eyes open to the people God is sending. And just to remember that we impact every person that we interact with. Even if it's just for a moment, we have that opportunity to impact them. And what do they feel when they stop by my office window? or when I take the deposit to the bank, which is one of the things I get the privilege of doing. And while interacting with people brings a lot of joy, it also has potential for a lot of conflict. You know, people can be both the best part and the worst part of our work. And serving is not just about the pleasant people. We're also called to serve those that just rub us the wrong way. Somehow those seem to show up more often than the ones that are just delightful. Why is that? What does that say about us, I think? And this takes more out of us. But I think as we can experience God's grace in and through us, we can still have joy in the office. But if our focus is only on pleasing our supervisors, making people happy, pleasing those we work with, I think we're going to become discouraged. That's not big enough. You know, a job well done is good. Making people feel good is good. But yet, after a couple years, that can get really narrow. I think we also need to keep our vision alive. You know, joy comes in being part of something bigger than what I am. And especially for those of you involved in nonprofits, you get to be something bigger than what you are. And even if you're involved in a business, you're part of blessing the kingdom. And if you're a mom, you're being office staff all the time, just in a little different way. You know, how do my responsibilities fit into the bigger picture? What is the vision statement, the mission statement of my ministry? Do I know what that is? And do I know how I can support that? How can I further what we're trying to do? And are there ways that I hinder it? I keep that vision from really going forward. You know, who is your ministry seeking to serve? And how can I care about those people? And sometimes it feels like we really can't. But yet, even just supporting the people who are out there in the front lines is a way that we're caring for those people out there. You know, how can I lighten the load for others without carrying the load? We're not called to carry the load, but I think as we come to the office with joy, we lighten the load. Then even just, what is my personal vision? Do I have a vision for my work? Is there something I want to see done? Is my vision bigger than just my task in front of me? And don't minimize the importance of your work being done well as a means of furthering your mission. What you do matters. Those little details really do matter. And I think we just need to understand our role as supporters. We're not the wheel. But you take a wheel. If one spoke is broken, that wheel does not roll very smoothly. And so we are a part of keeping our offices running smoothly. As office staff, we're not out to make our missions work, but we are called to be faithful. And to do the mundane, not out of duty, but out of joy. And I can just think of different jobs that I am sure some of you have in your offices that are just not a lot of joy in the task itself. And yet, because we're serving God, there is joy. And Jesus calls us to be the least, not the greatest. And I think that's just, it's a very basic principle. We hear it all the time. But I think that's the very principle that has robbed joy from me in the office more often than anything else has. Because I love my work. I love what I'm doing. But when I get hung up is when I look around at everybody else and think about all the ways I would love to do something and someone else is doing it. That robs me of that joy. So just in conclusion, yeah, I don't know what you're thinking as you're listening today. Now I can see at points that you totally understand what I'm saying. But I also know that office work has difficulty in it. And maybe you are seeing all the strainers and sieves created by others in your organization and wondering how you can make a difference. How are you supposed to dodge down that stream with what's there? Or maybe you see all kinds of rocks in your river that seem to destroy the flow and the joy of the river. If you work for an organization or a business that is 100% perfect, you're rare. Now, we all have imperfections. And these imperfections are those rocks in our river. But we have a choice with what we want to do with those rocks. You know, we can either fixate on those rocks and make them be sieves with just all kinds of pressure and allow them to steal our joy, create danger zones, or we can allow the music the water makes as it flows over the rocks to bring joy and refreshment. Life at times is very difficult, but I still think it's true that no one is able to steal our joy. We can give it away, but no one can steal it. So I want to encourage you that regardless how lowly or how important your place is in the office, or how hard you need to work to get along with your coworkers, you are given the privilege, the responsibility to serve. And in doing so, you make a difference. You build the kingdom of God. And as we serve with joy, we're able to be part of a river that brings joy and refreshment. And I think we still have a few more minutes. Okay. Does anyone have any comments or questions here after my fire hydrant? Maybe just some things that you found that bring joy to your office work. Yeah, I just want to really bless you as you continue to serve with joy and to find fulfillment in the place God has called you. And there's no place that's too small for God. And I will turn the time back over to Deborah.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.